Science reveals what the creation is like, and the creation calls out the praise of the Creator. This time we look at some of those amazing aspects of existence as we travel across the scale of creation, looking at what sings the praise of the one who made us. Hi, I'm Tim, and this is TBV for the 7th of April, the year of our Lord 2024. Standing under science. This week, we're looking at the depth of the wonder that comes from investigating what is true. Not the abstract idea of truth, but the looking around us, the careful and systematic investigation that we call science. Of course, science doesn't just have one method, depending on the area being investigated and the very nature of it, there's appropriate ways of gaining knowledge. This glorious and relatively recent way of finding things out takes us into places that we could have never imagined. The insights that we've gained have taken us into communications technology and into space travel. We have learnt so much about the creation, about the world we inhabit, about the very large and the very small. And this knowledge is potent. It is powerful in terms of changing how we organize our society. But it's also often transitory. What we thought we knew was true turns out on closer examination to need revision or at least refinement. There are ways of seeing the world, how the planets and stars move, that we find need to be tuned more and more accurately to the reality that our telescopes tell us. We have a world of wonders, and it's not all that simple. In fact, it's deeply complex, intricate, and awesome. We also, alongside this, have discovered a world that, in the English-speaking side of the Atlantic called England, is known as maths. Across the pond, they call it math, a bit like we call Lego bricks by the singular, and the Americans refer to them in the plural. We have this maths that describes the building blocks of life, that gives a sense of order and regularity, of pattern and symmetry, of detailed intricacy that we can write down, that we can encode in our computing devices, that we can make predictions about where things will be. In Oxford, there is a museum of the history of science that has a collection of brass crafted instruments, things that reveal the motions of the planets and predict what will happen in months, years, decades, or even centuries ahead. These things were found to be so regular that maths could be fitted to them. Some of the maths matches what's going on. Some of it can make predictions, but is actually quite an inaccurate description of what is happening. So the maths could be used to describe everything moving around us here on Earth, which of course is our own perspective, but not the reality. What we've learnt, what has been revealed, is that we are moving around our sun, and our sun is moving around a galactic center. We are one planet, and there are others as well. And these are described in intricate detail in the machines of the early scientific era and before. These are described in ways that reveal the motions of the planets, but you know, they're never, not ever, to scale. To actually put these planets to scale in some kind of organized system, you need to be able to have a sun large enough to almost put your arms around one side of it. And then it's a short walk to the inner planets of Mercury, Venus, or our own blue ball, Earth. And we're tiny compared to this sun you could almost hug. We are just something that would fit between your thumb and forefinger on this scale, this planetary perspective. When we stand under science, we start to see how crafted and clever the creation is, how intricate and designed it has been. This is something that reflects our own innate sense of glorious, amazed wonder at the beauty of things. We find this thinking God's thoughts after him experience to be one that delights and sustains us. It lifts our spirits. It exalts our sense of hope and the purpose of creation. And it humbles and diminishes us down to our proper size in the scale of things, that we are so small that it's not until we shrink down to the size of a moon and get a lunar perspective that we realize how vast are the gaps between the planets, how spacious and empty our system that revolves around our sun is. And then we need to shrink again down to the size of a mountain to even get a sense of the curvature of our Earth, of how things fall away in each direction, how thin is our atmosphere, how tiny a skin it forms when you look at the breathable portion, the area between Earth and Everest, between sea level and, well, not quite the sky, but at least the parts where we can consume the oxygen we need to live without passing out. We have this place in the scheme of things that sustains us. And from this place of being mountain-sized, we can step down again to understand our place on the planet, that we walk this earth like ants. But of course, that's the next step down in our scale of creation, shrinking ourselves the same jump in size down to that of the ants. We start to see how this fits together in an intricate and beautiful way, where we need these insects and the emergent life of plants to sustain us, that we are part of an ecosystem that is intricately and finely balanced, with feedback loops and cycles through time that we are just beginning to scratch the surface of. And yet, as we go down smaller, down to the intricate world of the cell, to this city of cells, and each cell like an intricate and crafted community of activity with its big library of information and its energy production and its communication systems, we find that we have a created order, a wonderful place that science has sought out through many, many means to find out what sustains life. These cells that make up almost all living beings with their DNA, this computer-like code of life that is long and complex and as information rich as any operating system in our computers, and yet so much, so vastly more sophisticated that it can make itself all over again, that it can make a twin and share its life. And each kind of life that our cells have has been carefully specified to come to do what it does, whether it's in our ear or our eye, it's working in our nose or our teeth. These cells, these constructed creations that produce the many materials we need to live and age, and all come to a conclusion at the end of our life, yet passing on our very code of life, our DNA, into the future. These are not the smallest things. They are richly complex. And we need to jump down again to understand, to stand under the wonder that science has revealed to us, that the seeking after knowledge has shown us, that they are coded by this double helix, this twisting information system, this wondrous code of life, packaged into book-like containers we call chromosomes, and twisted together, folded with purpose, each of the folds having its own part to play in the system of communication, the very means of living. This is glorious. This is great. This is what makes you and I who we are. This is so small that we leave traces when we touch things, that the follicles of each hair reveal who we were and where we've been. We are part of a system that is so carefully constructed, that is sustaining and life propagating, that is alive in a way that nothing in the universe we've yet found is like beyond our planet. We are the people who can think and imagine, who can dream and look ahead, who can think things through and come up with these thoughts and insights and put them to work. We can engineer and construct and create. We have been those who have been made by a creator. We are those who in his image can create as well. We are the product of purpose, and we are here for a reason. We have been made for God's delight. And each of us has the opportunity to find out what we're here for, what he has made us for. Not only the common calling of relationship with him, of an ongoing, intimate, life and eternal long relationship with him, but also the purpose that each of us has been made for, our own individual part in his plan, not knowing the whole, not getting the full picture, not seeing what is yet to come. We live in time with this strange horizon that we cannot see beyond, this experience of life, and yet the whole creation cries out in praise of his name. As we look up to the sky and at night see the stars, we marvel at what he has made. They sing his praise, they reveal to us knowledge. And as we look down to the ants and their labors, how they organize and prepare in season, ready for what is to come, we can take on board what we need to know. And at our own scale, at the point of the human perspective, this hinge point where we are big enough to have eyes and brains and small enough that we can move freely and perceive all that has been made. And worries come upon us, anxieties crowd in upon us, then we can take the words of the word and look at the flowers and the birds of the air. We can see how they have been so carefully constructed, how their beauty and their ability to live life without all the things that weigh us down, how they spring up and are beautifully clothed, better than Solomon in all his splendor. Then we can know this God who has made us. We can be connected to our King and even our Father in heaven, the one who calls us to himself. We've all, like sheep, gone astray. We've got lost in our own way, and he has opened his way, the one true Son of God, who has been born of woman, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the way God has provided. In the middle of our history, at the completion of the ages, the end of all things, he came to reveal. And now we have this short window, this few thousand years, these few days, as God understands time. We are his delight. If we turn, if we would accept his way and have his life planted in us, this is like the seed of DNA. This life that would come into us and take up the dead things of our old life and transform us. This is what it means to stand under the scientific insights. I'm not talking here, of course, about the ideology, the ideas of scientific materialism that shuts its eyes and ears to anything but the insights of science and refuse to look at these wonders as signs for what really matters. If you treat the signs as the ultimate existence, then you really are missing out. If you never left the motorway to see where the signs pointed, you would be missing out on almost all the beauty of the place where you are traveling. But if you allow the signs to lead you to the destination, to the one who is the way, then hope blossoms and experience extends beyond the material into the spiritual, into the themes of love and beauty, of wonder and creativity, of experiencing the intimate relationship with the one who knows us and loves us and is calling each one of us to himself. This is our light in the darkness, and the advances of recent decades have brought points of light like starlight to us, revealing constellation and all kinds of glorious ways that each part of the creation points to its creator. Whether you're looking at the small or the large, the fine tuning of the universe or the beginning of life itself, the small to the great, each says, I've been made, and he is my creator. I'm Tim, and this is TBV. Until next time.